no matter where you are in the world. That rambling voice from Tennessee will cause traumatic ear damage and lower your IQ to a level that must be measured in the negative. It's too late to turn it off now. You're listening to Alan Wofford on Diary of a Bald Man.
Hey, everybody, as you heard April mention in the introduction, you're back and listening to the Diary of Bald Man. God bless you. We're glad to have you back. And for all of our listeners globally, you know, thank you so much for making this a huge success. Thank you for your questions, your comments, the emails, and the idea behind this new series within the show called Inside the Bald Man. So Douglas is going to be joining me. Douglas and others were picked. Once we got the request in to have me interviewed, we tried to find something or someone that was capable of meeting the time constraints and had the ability to ask the questions that people wanted to know. So as Douglas comes onto the show during this, he'll be switched out with Jocelyn or one of the others from, you know, the podcast association. And what we're hoping to do is give you more insight using Revoicer and hopefully producing, you know, even better show to help us for the years to come. So at this time, Douglas, would you take a moment and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about you and, you know, what's going to be coming up with the show?
Thank you, Alan. Hello, everyone. My name is Doug Richards, a man whose life has been defined by an insatiable passion for communication and cultural connection. I am armed with an associate degree in psychology, and I have spent the last 13 years diving deep into the complexities of the human mind. But I also have a very deep interest and am into advanced research on the use of sound therapy as a potential tool to help others heal and grow. Additionally, I am an advocate for groundbreaking mental health practices, including ambitious and, let's face it, the fascinating goal of exploring the connection between multiple orgasms and emotional well-being. And now, my voice has found a new home as the co-host of Diary of a Bald Man, where I can add or improve the unique blend of wisdom, humor, and curiosity to listeners everywhere. Beating numerous other fans and listeners to claim this spot, I am ready to turn every conversation with Alan into a deep dive of extraordinary and unexpected ramblings, but keeping that primary focus on the listeners who make this show possible. As we get into the show, I will interview Alan based off the 3 years of emails and communications sent in for inclusion. If you would like to get involved, send an email to diaryofabaldman1968@gmail.com. Please remember this show is for entertainment, so that means occasionally you may be offended or amused. Focus on one and enjoy whatever floats your mental boat.
Hey, Doug, I appreciate you taking that moment. And for everybody listening, you know, we're going to switch out on times it may be Doug asking questions, Sophie, as we're getting more and more input, you know, especially now that the podcast awards have completed. You know, we made the top 10 again for society and culture on the People's Choice Podcast Award. So when we're getting a lot of the questions and suggestions and stuff, you know, from people that listen to the show, you know, a lot of the things that they got, you know, ideas that they generated were from listening also to other programs. You know, you got Joe Rogan, Sean Ryan. I can't remember Vaughn's name, but I wish I could think of it. I just had a brain fart here. But yeah, there are some great shows out there. But one of the things that, you know, people were really putting into play was the fact, you know, they knew these little tidbits about me from the 30 minutes with the 10-minute breaks and cycles. But nobody had any questions. You know, I'd be on other people's podcasts. They'd ask things related to safety. They'd ask things related to why I get into podcasting. But they didn't ask, at least to the viewers and listeners and, you know, the subscribers that we have, they didn't ask questions about me. What makes me me and what makes the podcast so important outside of me dealing with PTSD? So, you know, that's one of the things we're going to try to address with the Inside the Bald Man, give you a deeper dive, a deeper insight into what makes us go, you know, and we'll just leave it at that. And you guys let us know what you think and any questions you have, send the questions to the Diary of a Bald Man, 1968@gmail.com. And either Doug or Sophia or Kayla in one of the next episodes, we'll get a chance to interview me. All right, Doug.
So, Alan, if you are ready to begin, let's start off the Inside the Bald Man series with the questions generated by ChatGPT for learning the intricate and underlying ideas behind a podcaster. Do you need to take a potty break, brush your back hair, align your chakras, or reload on coffee?
Well, Doug, I hope some of your conversation isn't generated by ChatGPT. I mean, it seems like you're going to have some snarky and smart-ass moments yourself, so I appreciate you adding that to the show. You know, we'll have to interview you to get your personal opinions and insights and things that lead. I know you got a thing in psychology, but I don't want you mentally undressing me while we're going through the show. But no, I should be good. I'm wearing an adult diaper. I've got one of those new Depends Ultras that's got enough vermiculite in it where I could pour out, you know, two bladder loads and I should be good to go. My back hair has been mitigated a little bit, you know, so I think I'm good on that. And I've got a never-ending supply on coffee. So let's go. Fire away.
Is your podcast about social norms a subtle way of saying you hate small talk? Or are you just here?
Well,
to
that was kind of unexpected, but you know, I guess it's going to be a little bit of both. I'm really not one for small talk because my mind is constantly in motion. You know, I'm thinking of the next step. I'm thinking of the next message that I want to get out. But I also appreciate the fact of fucking people clapping, you know, when a plane lands, especially after my last trip where I came back from the Marshall Islands. You know, we had some rough air up there. And as we were coming back into Knoxville, storms were being generated. So we sat out on the tarmac. I think it was like 30, 40 minutes. But people did appreciate as soon as we were getting ready to pull into the gate, you know, and they started throttling up the engines and we started to taxi. But yes, small talk. I'm not really good at that. I don't flirt a lot with my wife on that because a lot of times, you know, I'll make a conversations just to talk. But, you know, it's just a waste of time and it gets into her personal mental space, you know, and it's just not anything beneficial. I do, however, love to talk with her about her job because I helped to build the plant as a safety person while it was under construction, knew a lot of the people back in the day. But the idea behind the podcast, why the podcast? I'm 56. I'm getting older by the day, I hope. And I thought it was a great idea, you know, to share some of the maybe tragic or challenging times that I may have endured and hopefully give some insight to those that may be facing the same thing, that may be going through something else, and maybe inspire them to do the same thing. Hey, you know, let me do a podcast about diabetes. Let me do a podcast about diets and things like that. So I think it's to share in an age where there's so much digital and visual cues, you know, that somebody could just sit back and listen and say, hey, that fits me like a glove, or Jesus Christ, you know, it's slipping off my hand. It's not something I'm really engaged with. So the idea is to communicate better because, you know, back in the day, history was given verbally. And then once the written word came out, we had books. Now everybody's doing like visuals and skits and things like that. And while it is humorous and it can be entertaining and intellectually challenge, you know, people to think about stuff, the podcast, basically, if we're going to go and cut it down to what it's for, is for, you know, rambling about those people clapping when the plane lands. I like that. What do you got next? Come on.
Since the Listen Notes podcast platform added your show to both comedy as well as the society and culture segments, who do you listen to that makes you laugh your ass off?
Now, that is a really great question. I didn't even think about it, but I mean, you know, back in the day, George Carlin was my absolute favorite comedian. And what was odd is, you know, when he was presenting his information, it wasn't so much for comedy, but to gather people's attention about little things that were going on around him, whether it be the government, the environment, you know, all kinds of social and cultural things that were going on that we should really think about, get engaged with, challenge, maybe question, you know, why does this occur? Why do we accept this? But now, the one motherfucker that makes me laugh my ass off is a comedian by the name of Ian Bagg. I see his clips on YouTube, and I piss myself. I've done it twice. I literally have. You know, just laughing at the way he does his crowd work. He'll look at someone and say, hey, what's your name? Yeah, how'd you meet that guy? you know, before you didn't know him, so now you do know him, so how'd you meet? And I just laugh because he'll use the same thing with different crowds, but he'll add different questions. He'll throw different things out there and get people engaged. And that is just today, that is the funniest son of a bitch. And anytime I need a mental break and to kick into, you know, that next level of attention and what's going on, it's Ian Bagg, hands down. All right. Great question. I wish George Carlin and him could work a crowd together. I'm glad you asked that. All right, so what do we got next, sir?
If you could have one famous person endorse your podcast, would they actually listen to it to see if their ears bled or just take the paycheck and spend it on booze?
Well, I don't know what kind of prompts you guys put into that ChatGPT to, you know, get these questions for the very first show of The Inside of the Bald Man. But, there's some things I don't think I would have heard on other podcasts. But to answer your question, Jesus Christ, one famous person, absolutely, one of my favorite writers, with Chef Anthony Bourdain. I would love to have him endorse the podcast, maybe while he was out there doing his No Reservations tour or any of his other shows. I absolutely loved the chef. And Chef Bourdain, I know you're no longer with us physically, but I know your spark is out there inspiring other chefs, travelers, and writers. But so to answer your question, if he was still alive, hands down, Anthony Bourdain. I just loved his sarcasm. I loved his humor. It was a little bit on the dark side, but, you know, from all the issues that he had with drugs and alcohol, a variety of other things, challenges, you know. I'm not going to say issues or problems. He had challenges, but you don't know what was going on in his mind. I didn't know what was going on in his mind, you know, and I read everything of his except for his fiction. I'm not a big fiction reader, but I would love to have had Chef Bourdain, you know, endorse the podcast. Maybe say, hey, while you're eating that shitty bowl of macaroni and cheese or, you know, chomping down on that peanut butter and jelly, why don't you, you know, feed your soul at the same time through the Diary of Bald Man. But God bless, he's gone. Joe Rogan, you know, he would be such an inspiration, I think, if he just said, hey, you know, buy stock in wood or buy stock in cotton, people would do it because he's such a good influence. But, you know, to have another podcaster, that would be nice. But, you know, I mean, the world's best podcaster, you know, what's he going to promote? Whoever he talks to, would it, if he blinks and it says buy tacos on his eyelids, you know, people are going to see that and they're going to do that. But, yeah, he's famous, but, you know, Joe Rogan would be nice. But if I could, it would be cool as shit to have the musician Jelly Roll. Very unique voice, very talented, you know, him and his wife Bunny, just love him to death. So that would be probably one of the coolest things in life is to have somebody of his background. You know, he had struggles and challenges. The amazing thing he does to pass it on to, you know, others and try and build them up and help them out. So in today's society of famous people who would be kick-ass in supporting or endorsing a podcast, hands down, Jelly Roll, because, I mean, Bunny does a podcast too, you know, and she doesn't need endorsement. She is endorsement, her and Bunny, her and Jelly Roll together. So that's my answer, hands down. Final answer, Jelly Roll. What do we got next, Doug?
Which band from your youth are you still listening to, even though they should have all retired or gone into real estate?
Well, I'm old as fuck, and I've heard a lot of bands over the years. Probably the most influential when I was young, when my dad still had his reel-to-reel, listened to Jan and Dean, the Beach Boys, Three Dog Night, Simon and Garfunkel, you know, and on occasion, I'll still listen to him, you know, because I love the music. It was very dominant at the time when I was growing up back in the 70s and the 80s, you know, really taking off. As we got towards the 80s and 90s, I started listening to 38 Special. On occasion, I'll still pull them down. You know, there's so many good groups out there. But the one consistent, the one all my life that's been consistent since they came out has been the Scorpions. I just love their music. It's fitting for everything that I'm doing, whether it's traveling, working around the house. I mean, I've constantly got them playing in the background. as well as, you know, a couple others that are new, not so much bands, but independent singers. My favorite singer of all time would have to be Ozzy, but more particularly or more distinctly on Crazy Train. That is my favorite song of all time. It is when my wife calls me, that's what plays in the background. That is my favorite song, but hands down favorite group, the Scorpions. Fuck everybody else. I mean, you may be good, but I don't give a shit. That's the one I still listen to. It's one of the older ones that's around. You know, and they're just hard to beat. You know, if you think about some of your favorites around, you know, around the 80s and 90s, you know, it's hard to say because there were so many outstanding ones that were coming up. But with consistency, the vocal ranges, the things I really love, it is going to be the Scorpions. I can't name any of the singers. Couldn't tell you shit about it, but I love the music. So what do we got, brother? I know we've been on this for a minute. I'm sure that you've still got like five or six additional to go.
What's the last book you skimmed just enough to drop a quote and sound like a literary genius at dinner parties or after hour work socials?
Damn, that's another good question. I'm an avid reader. I mean, I've got a small library here in my office, probably like 30, 40 books. The one on the top of, obviously, is going to be Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential. I've read that 5, 6, 7 times. A couple others, Spy versus Spy by Ron Kessler, another one of my favorites. But one that I skimmed just to sound, I guess, partially intelligent during a conversation, not really read, but just to get some insight because, you know, a lot of fucking people read this. 50 Shades of Grey. Not my genre, just a little bit curious about, you know, rich people going around spanking their secretaries and shit. So, yeah, I just skimmed through that. I really didn't read it. It just didn't have any appeal to me at the time. But I'm sure, you know, it was a number one book for a reason. So maybe I should read it, get some ideas. Maybe, you know, see if the wife is like, hey, honey, you want to be tied up with spaghetti straps or something? I don't know. But, yeah, that would be the only book I can honestly say outside that and the Code of Federal Regulations for 1926 and construction. That's what I look at when I want to fall asleep, you know, and it kills any type of sexual mood or tension. So, yeah, that was an interesting question, ChatGPT. Don't send stupid shit out like that again. What else we got, Doug?
If your house were on fire, what's the one item you'd save, assuming Netflix passwords don't count?
Well, shit, I like that. I do not even have the password to Netflix. I'm going to have to ask my wife for that, you know, because you can't share it like you used to and go outside your house and all. But if the house was on fire, it fucking shouldn't, unless somebody's doing something stupid in the kitchen. And I've got fucking fire extinguishers everywhere. But the first thing I'd do is to release the dog and probably the cat. I'd be afraid to let the cat run out through the yard. But I'd let the dogs out. I'd definitely make sure my wife and Skylar were out of the house. But the thing that I would save, I'm not really a materialistic person, so let's look at something that's critically important to life and happiness, would be my percolator coffee cup. My percolator coffee maker. It's not a cup, it's 4 cups, and I finish it like it is a single cup. But if anything had any kind of importance or criticality to it, yeah, it would be my percolator. I don't know why anybody would grab anything else. The shit's insured. Replace it. It's old. You know, if you listen to the Exit Strategy last podcast, you can't take that shit with you. So get all fucking new. Make sure you're insured. Have everything taken care of. Get your coffee pot. Fuck the rest of it. What you got, Doug?
Dude, you've lost your damn mind. Your world is burning and you want to save your coffee pot? Can't you just buy a new one like you said about the other household goods?
Now, look, I said I'm not a materialistic person. I didn't go save a fucking Xbox or Game Box or something. I went and rescued a coffee pot. Not just a coffee pot. It's not a drip. It's not a Keurig. This motherfucker is a percolator. Most people don't even know what the fuck that is or how good the coffee is making it. Don't judge me just because you're a great voice on the other side of this podcast. I mean, you should have some of this fucking coffee made in a percolator, and you would understand the emotional attachment and the physical and sociological that I have for this. It's been all over the fucking world, Doug. It's been in Hawaii, Alaska, the Marshall Islands. It's been in 19 states that I've traveled because I'd take it to the hotel because I didn't know if they're cooking meth or cracking those hotel coffee pots. I want something clean and pure and that had, you know, something godlike to it. Don't judge me, you prick. Let's get on with the next question. Good stuff, though.
If you could change careers today without worrying about failure, would you aim for passion, fame, or just shorter meetings?
I'm absolutely going to go with shorter meetings. I've already had fame and my occupation and the various career fields that I've been involved with. And I'm passionate about all of them. When I get into a job, I want to learn everything about what I'm doing, its effects down the road, ways to improve and challenges like that. But the one thing that, you know, I have difficulties with are when they pull, like, you know, certain types of meetings to discuss path forward and stuff like that. I just need to know where they want to go and I can get their teams there safely, make sure the work environment's safe, you know, things along those lines, because that's what I do. So I would say less meetings. Instead of pulling people out, you know, for things that may not really be important, they could send an email saying, hey, you know, what can we do with this? Where can we go? And what can you add to make it happen? So, yeah, less meetings and, yeah, forget the rest. I've already had it. Been there, done that. So what else do we have going forward, Douglas? Anything else from the ChatGPT intro for this pilot session?
No, that's all that we have for this pilot episode. This little bend in the road was mainly to give listeners a little insight about the follow-up shows and some of the path changes to make this a great journey for everyone involved. In our next session and those following, we will be asking you, the listeners, questions and responding to them, as well as acknowledging the areas they are listening from and sharing globally. It should be good if you don't fuck it up.
Well, Doug, I appreciate your help with this endeavor, and I really appreciate that you were able to take the time to help me get this show together and the pilot started and get this out there and get some feedback from the listeners. You know, the Global Connection podcast originally started out with the postcards and people following me on the diaryofabaldman.com page. But I think the stuff that people were asking for, we're going to really find a new niche or portion to this show that they can get more engaged with and get recognized, you know, for their contribution and for their support of the show, you know, and from the locations. So, Doug, let me take this moment to thank you. And I appreciate everything you did to help make this happen. And I know the other team members as well that's going to analyze this and look and say, hey, we've got something that's good, or stop and let's readdress. So thank you again.
No. I enjoyed this opportunity to try something new and foreign to me. Before you reached out to all of us for our ideas, I listened to your shows randomly to try and gauge what you might need for this project. And I was surprised that you wanted members with knowledge or training in psychology. I think the 500 plus emails we vetted for the follow-up shows helped me and the others to see the broad range of listeners that you've built and get a better idea of what the men and women who participated in the Global Connection Project are looking for in podcasts and the hosts. This is going to be a unique endeavor to be a part of. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, thank you, Doug, again. And for everybody listening, you know, you'll have the opportunity, and we do ask that you take that opportunity, to either email me at diaryofabaldman1968@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this type of show with the interview process, getting you guys and gals out there to participate and represent your portion of the country or countries that you're from. And we really appreciate everything you've done over these past 3 years to help us make it not once, but twice into the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And we'll see where we go from there. Thank you for all the team members with the Communication Plus Archives, ChatGPT for those really unique questions. You know, and again, I'd like to see the formatting that brought, you know, those up and the psychology behind what everything Doug and his team does. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Now get the fuck out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to Diary of a Bald Man. Alan Wofford has left the building.